This is the Brandt and Sherry podcast, sponsored by Metashare. For more info about the show or about Brandt's book, Unoffendable, check out BrantHanson.com.
Hey there, my name is Brandt. Thank you for listening to our show. My name is Brandt. I just said that. Why would I say it twice?
Just maybe felt like people didn't get it. No, I understand.
Really?
I do understand because you're already where you're going. And then you have to back up and be like, did I say my name?
Huh.
Like you already knew what you were going to talk about.
I'm
and you
sorry
were trying
about
to get
that.
There.
That was weird. Yeah. Very weird. Anyway, my name is Brandt. And thank you for listening to our show. I'm sorry. Can we get some professionals in here? Do we have a budget for this? Merry Christmas to you. My name is Brandt, and oh
Sherry
my goodness.
Is, yeah,
wow.
Sherry's my name. That's
wow.
I come here every day
Why
to
did
work
I
with
blank?
You on
I
this
think,
show.
I think I just blanked on your honorific, whether I was going to okay. say the great producer Sherry or
no, I don't think that's what
the
that
magnificent,
happened.
And I was going back and forth. I wasn't blanking on your name. I know that.
Okay.
Anyway, what I was going to say was with the Christmas story, of course, it's so surprising. I mean, maybe you've heard it a billion times, but come on. It's a shocking story for what people expected from the Messiah or what people expected from the King of Kings. Like, be born in a palace, okay? Do what we expect. Do the power trip that we expect. Take over, you know, kick everybody out of here. Separate the good from the bad. That's how you should do it. Not only is the beginning of it shocking, the whole Christmas story, this Jesus, as he grows up, the last few years of his life, when he's in his ministry period, he's shocking people all over again, over and over and over and over. They keep thinking he's going to do what they expect. And he's going to say to the bad people, hey, bad people, you're really bad. And he doesn't give people what they want. He frustrates some people into other people. It's like, oh my goodness, God broke through and it's better news than we could have possibly expected. So scientists say that Mondays are especially stressful to people. So we do this thing called the joke spa, and it's where I relax you using humor, which they say actually puts people at ease. So that's why we'll do this spa. Kelly, you want to do this?
Oh, sure.
Thanks. Okay, so she's lying down there. This is a spa environment, and we do all the normal spa stuff, but I've also read that humor helps people relax. Sherry is assisting.
Yeah.
And she's got the music going. It helps you relax, and then it also helps you relax to be lying there with like stuff on your face, cream and like
what kind of cream?
Orange peel stuff.
Okay.
And cucumbers.
And we've done this to her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because and it's costing her a pretty penny too, I'll tell you what. Just to be in here in
all
this
right.
environment.
We better do it up good
yeah.
here then.
Right. Oh, we have a water, special water with the fruit already in it.
Oh yeah, this
that,
is
you
yeah,
know?
This is nice. Okay.
Yeah.
All the amenities.
So now she's lying down here after enjoying all of that. And I turn to you and I say, and this is going to help you relax even more because of the humor level that's in it. I turn to you with the lights down and Sherry and I standing here. And I say, hey, I just got back from the zoo. It was weird. There was an enclosure with just a piece of toast in it. Yeah, the sign said, this is bread in captivity. See?
No.
See? Do you see? Do you see?
That is so
funny because bread in captivity.
Yeah. See, this unpacking
can be interpreted two different ways.
We lose
in both ways would
the,
make some sense.
The unpacking of it.
We're overlapping incompatible frames of reference, and that's what produces the overall affect of absurdity, which induces laughter. Which in turn lowers our attention. So
the unpacking's not conducive to the spa environment, I don't think.
That'll be $225. Okay.
You pay up front.
I gotta get out of this spa. I'm gonna be broke if I stay here.
One wonderful thing about that Christmas story that it's easy to gloss over, but it talks about Jesus being light. A lot of you know, light of the world, and the world hasn't understood it, still struggles to understand it. But it's clear from that actual explanation in the Bible, something that we still get messed up, which is the light is not us.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not us. We didn't make that happen. We didn't build that. Get political about it. Like that's not from me. I didn't do it. And sometimes I turn on PBS or something, and I'll see somebody talking, and they'll talk about the light in me, like I am the light, and we all together. Like, but that's okay. I can respect that point of view, but that's apparently we needed saving from somewhere else. Hmm. I hate this music. I hate it. I hate it. I thought it would be like a nice Christmas.
It started out all right, but then it got a little.
It got crazy with the flutes.
Yeah. All I can see is hummingbirds flying across, and as you know, that's unnerving in many ways.
Trying
yeah.
to make a point yeah. about the guy on PBS, but he's not the one with the crazy flutes. I am.
So really, who's wrong?
Anyway, I was going to try to work this back to try to save it, but I don't, can I save this?
Yeah, go ahead. I think you can.
You think so?
I think you can.
Oh, I was just going to, all right. Sorry about all the music, but I was...
No.
I was just gonna say it's not us. We're not the ones. We needed him to intervene. There's nothing in there about all of us banding together and just getting really awesome. And that's really significant. It needed somebody from outside. It's time for a little history segment. This is a lesson for you kids or younger adults who don't know what life was like. I want to tell you about life for humans in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take you back to 1995. So this is in the previous millennium.
Way back in the day.
This time of year, people were getting in fist fights about little bean bags that looked like animals. Yeah, little ones. And in some cases, like the people who made these little bean bags that looked like animals would give them names, like Taurus the Bull.
Yeah.
And then stop making them. Like, we're going to stop making Taurus the Bull. And they would announce it to everybody.
And they made, like, what, 6 of them?
And people would freak out, right. And then it would sell, literally, I mean, we're talking about the size of your hand.
Yes.
Would go for $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
No one knew one. Yeah, no one knew one.
Right. Why? Because what are you doing with it?
You could play with them. What I did, because I had a little kid at the time, we would throw them around, play catch with them.
Okay.
Right? But everybody else would... Make sure they kept the tags on.
Uh-huh.
And then a lot of people were inviting them as investments, like sinking their retirement
into
the bean bags. And at the time, you know what? People were like, okay.
It made sense.
Yeah. It really did. It made sense.
But in retrospect?
Now, as these people are getting ready to retire with their piles of lobster bean bags, I think
they
wish
they
could. Yeah.
Yeah, a little off.
They wish they could do it again. This can make people really mad, but we're not mad about it. We have some people in our neighborhood who are like, it's called a holiday tree, not a Christmas tree. They'll have this discussion online in our little neighborhood forums.
Mm.
And you know what? You want to call it a holiday tree? I'm fine with that. I will say this, that it's becoming less easy for somebody to claim to be a believer in our culture anymore. It just is on a number of levels. And I'm okay with that. Because it never should have been a fashion choice in the first place. If somebody's walking away from Jesus because it's not fashionable, like, well, I don't know that you ever got it. And you know what? It's not fashionable to be a Christian. I get it. For one thing, the people around you might embarrass you. The other people who call themselves Christians, that might happen. But it doesn't change the truth about Jesus, does it? I mean, I'm confronted with that. There's things that happen. I'm like, oh, boy. But it doesn't change the truth about Jesus. It just reinforces the fact that he was saying everybody needs him. Everybody. He's telling us all, you're all messed up. You all need a savior. And when I see embarrassing behavior, I'm like, well, yeah, he's right again, isn't he? It doesn't change the truth about him. I don't want my following him or not following him to just be a fashion choice. Merry Christmas to you. My name is Brant, and producer Sherry is here too. Now, Shireen listens to the show, so we just called her in to say hi and Merry Christmas.
Hi, Brad. How are you?
I'm good. I got you something for Christmas.
Oh.
Yep.
You did?
Yep, I got you a fact. I'm giving these out.
Oh, I love facts.
I know. I know. And they don't cost anything, but the thought is still there, so why not?
And you have it with you forever, you know?
Yep. And so this fact is for you. I've chosen it just for you. And... The fact is this, the tallest mountain in the solar system is actually on Mars.
Really?
Yeah. And it's 3 times the size of Mount Everest. It's called Olympia Mons. It's huge.
No way.
Yeah. Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas.
So that's what you're doing this year, Christmas facts?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Because, like, people are like, oh, it's the thought that counts, and people do stuff on Etsy or fancy, you know, Pinterest-type crafts.
Yes, crafts.
And they're like, well, it didn't cost anything, but, it, you know, it's the effort and the thought.
Mm-hmm.
If I find a fact, I don't see why that would be any worse.
And in your mind, you're giving the gift of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And is, like, that mountain fact, is there anything she can do other than re-gift it? Is there anything she can do with it?
I can spread the love with it.
She doesn't have to keep it in her house for a year just to make me happy and then try to throw it away on the sly. So that alone makes it better than all the Pinterest stuff.
I would actually agree.
Yeah. There's a group of people I feel kind of sorry for this time of year, and that are the parents that are just beating down the store windows to get at Hatchimals or whatever the trendy animal or thing is that toy for Christmas.
That everybody has to have, all the kids have to have.
I feel for them.
Why?
Because I think they think that they have to get their kids whatever they want.
Okay.
And that that's actually going to help.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. I think they're in for it later on. Like, it's actually good for your kid. I know this sounds like you know.
Yeah, this is where the kids in the car
stuff.
Start not being very happy with Uncle Brandt. But it's still true.
I'm trying to help your parents, kids.
well, which will inevitably help you.
Yeah,
but
ultimately, but you're not going to see that. But that's all right. But I would, if I could wave a magic wand, I would absolve parents of that responsibility because it's actually good for the kids to not get everything they want because that's how life works.
True.
You've probably noticed that as an adult. A lot of the stuff you want.
Most of the things you want.
Most. Well, look at just the way our culture like exalts romance, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody's going through their whole life like, where's the romance that I should have had? Mm-hmm. I could have. Like, but if you teach your kids that that's not really what life's all about, you're not going to get everything. There are desires that will be left unfulfilled in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. Not ultimately with God. Not ultimately with Him. But in this lifetime, there are things we have to live with where we don't get everything we want. And you know what? It's okay. It's all right. I just think that's a great thing to learn. And whether or not it's this Christmas or not, you know, it's up to you, whatever, making too big of a deal out of it. But I do think if that is a burden you have, like I got to give my kids to be a good parent, whatever they want, I got to give it to them. Like, man, I think you can relax. Kind of a struggle. Remember when you were a kid and you knew where the presents were hidden? And you knew you could find out?
Yes.
My wife totally just did this to me again. She's like, don't go in the basement. I normally don't care about the basement.
Right.
And now I can't walk past that door
without thinking
without
about it.
Being like,
so there's something down there for Brant in the basement. Isn't that exciting?
It is. I'm really excited.
Oh, you're not going to go in the basement.
No, I'm not. Because I was
it.
Just talking to some friends' kids yesterday. They're like 8, 9, 10 years old.
Right.
I'm like, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do it, you guys. And you don't do it. We decided together. This is the year we are not going to do that.
That's good. I'm proud of you guys.
Thanks. Yeah, you've heard this phrase before. Well, that guy thinks he's God's gift to the world. Or she just thinks she's God's gift to the world. Think about that. Like, he and she kind of are. I mean, maybe not to the world, but to somebody. And I was even thinking that with regard to me. Like, thinking, well, I don't want to think I'm God's gift to, like, well, but I'm supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not to the world or anything, but it's like to somebody, I'm today, you're God's gift to somebody. He's put you around people. Some people are within your orbit. Maybe it's in your office. Maybe it's your work, you know, your workplace, your school. There are people who could use a gift, and it's probably going to look like encouragement. It's probably going to look like words. May not, but you know how powerful words are, and just you get an opportunity to serve somebody. A lot of times it's just with actually saying that thing that you know they're going to walk away feeling encouraged because of it. Like you blew wind into their sails. And so I don't know about being God's gift to the world. I don't know, but I think you're supposed to be God's gift to somebody. Hey, what's going on? Glad you're listening to the show. My name is Brant, and I've been just been, oh my goodness.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry. I just been handed some breaking animal news.
Yeah.
News from the animal kingdom.
Again.
This, to me, there's no excuse for this. I know I'm, again, venturing into commentary here, but This is out of Vermont, this story that's breaking.
Mm-hmm.
Sheldon, Vermont. A Vermont couple says their effort to shoo away a moose that was making friends with its two cows, the farm's two cows,
yeah,
was successful.
Mm-hmm.
The moose's name is Molly Moose. And Molly Moose was making friends with these two cows named Precious and Primrose. Molly looked healthy and was looking for companionship, but they chased her off. That's the story.
Okay, so...
That's terrible.
Well, first, I don't know how we know the moose's name is Molly. Does it belong to someone else?
The Abbots and the moose named Molly looked healthy and I don't know how we know. But the point is that she was making friends with these cows, and that's... That's how it ends. The Abbots or the family. I don't want them to get hate mail.
I don't think there's
whether
any,
they deserve it or not. That's not the point. The point isn't that they live in Vermont. You probably look them up online, but
Brand.
They shouldn't get hate mail. They should not. But that's heartbreaking animal news to me.
Why?
Because
do we know that cows can be? Is there a danger?
Molly Moose. Just think about it. Molly Moose makes friends with Primrose and Precious Cow.
Yeah.
And, we have to put a stop to this.
Well, it's great for a children's book, but I don't know that in reality, in actuality, it would work.
Well, this is a terrible children's book if it finishes with, and then the Abbot said, no, we don't want friends on our farm.
Okay. Mm-mm.
Been doing this little Christmas thing, overrated, underrated. You tell us whether something...
What is this?
Just looking for some Christmas atmosphere.
I think this goes into, what child is this? No. We Three Kings. Yeah.
It's a little maudlin. It's a little...
Dark.
It's a really nice song, but it's not what we're looking for. We're looking for something, like, happy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, there it is.
Overrated or underrated? You tell us. Some kind of holiday thing. So, you ready for this, Kelly?
Okay.
What do you think about... Christmas caroling, overrated or underrated?
I actually think that is underrated. I am looking forward to going caroling soon with some friends, and we did it last year. We sang O Holy Night at a home of some people who were elderly, and my goodness, I mean, they were in tears, we were in tears after. I just thought, you know, this is amazing. So,
nice.
Oh yeah, we really wanted to do it again. Definitely underrated.
I agree. Not to take this into a thinking space or anything. It's just the culture doesn't. We don't sing as a culture like most cultures have in human history. Like it's just kind of getting phased out.
True.
Like one of the only places you'll do it is church. It used to be like you'd go to a pub, even like a village pub, and people would be singing.
True.
And It is so rare.
And it's reflective, probably. Now I'm in a thinking space with you. How did this happen? It's reflective of the culture because there's the joy has kind of been sucked out of it.
Yep.
The silliness and the fun has been sucked out of it for what we think is freedom. What we think is it's actually binding us to the point that we don't have that joy inside.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I like this.
How did I get here, Kelly? How did I get here?
You're agreeing. That's not good.
I'm dragging Sherry into my cultural critic lens. Been looking on this church website. I say it's a church. It's not a church. They have performances by musicians. It looks exactly like a church.
Mm-hmm.
They have musicians up there, stage, speakers to inspire children's programming to entertain and stimulate young minds. But it's supposed to be for atheists, free thinkers, agnostics, humanists, and so that's what the gathering is for.
It's a we're not a church.
Yeah, they meet weekly on Sunday mornings. And
Sunday mornings? Really?
Yeah, they welcome everybody except somebody who's convinced that there's a God.
Mm-hmm.
And they say you'll find compassion and kindness, and that is so important. I know they recognize that. It's wonderful. But they say no matter where you are on your journey, you'll find you're no longer alone. Here's the thing about a journey, though. I mean, we all love journeys. Is there a destination? Like, honestly, just ask yourself that. Like, I've had to ask myself that. Is it just a journey? Because if there is no destination, it's not a journey, is it? I mean, that's the thing about Lord of the Rings I love so much. They're going somewhere. If they're not going anywhere, it's a lot less interesting story. In fact, it's boring. But they're going somewhere. There's an idea that there is a destination. And I think just allowing that there is one can open you up to a lot of ideas that you wouldn't have considered otherwise. That maybe one of them is this rescue plan that God had for mankind, recognizing that we're broken. Maybe that's it. And there's a word for a journey with no destination. It's called being lost. And nobody wants to hear that, but I know that's true for me. If I don't believe there's a place I'm even trying to go, I'm lost. They welcome what they say. I just think this is so interesting. Maybe you fall into this camp, or maybe you know some people who do. They call themselves free thinkers. Now, a free thinker is somebody who's convinced, you know, that there's no such thing as a supernatural anything. Like, they're free to think that there is no God. But actually, what they've done is decided that there is no supernatural. Wouldn't a free thinker leave open the possibility that there is? Mm. Like, that miraculous things actually happen? I mean, they don't have evidence they don't happen. You can't possibly prove that. So wouldn't have, I guess what we're saying is the free thinkers are the ones who've decided without evidence that supernatural things can't happen. And then I guess the closed-minded people are the ones who leave open the possibility that it could happen.
That's just weird.
I don't think that's true. I think we're playing with the language a little bit. I think we do some fast ones in the name of reason. I've just noticed that. And this is why I mention this every now and then, and some people are going to get it and some people won't. If it's all like confusing to you and you're not interested, that's okay. I'll be done here in a second. But this is why I say there are some of us who are Christians because we're skeptical. And we weren't just skeptical about Christian stuff. We were skeptical about the alternatives, and we don't think they actually work. We don't think they're actually consistent. We wind up at square one going, God, I need you. I need somebody to give thanks to. So important that guys know this. We shared this. Women would rather, by and large, shop by themselves. They'd rather not have us along if you have a wife who wants to shop. Yeah.
Yeah, we said that fact, and people were chiming in on the Facebook page saying that's true.
Lynn says, listening to your show, I want to say I am one of the 7 out of 10 women who'd rather shop alone. When my husband shops with me, he follows me like a shadow. This is the problem. That's what I apparently have done too. My wife never said it.
Okay.
But I could just tell. Picked up on it.
Mm-hmm.
I will turn around and run into him. It's hard to shop with a shadower. And yes, Brant, what you said about feeling hurried, I do feel that when we shop together. I would just like to point out that that's some pretty astute husbanding on my part. That I figured all of that out without being told.
Well done.
I sensed as a husband.
You were getting on your wife's nerves?
It was just, she kind of wanted me there, but kind of didn't.
Yeah.
Because she'd look
good
at something like, well, I'll come back and look. Well, look at it now. We're here. Mm-hmm. Well, just, so anyway, that's some pretty good husbanding right there, you guys. I just wanted
well
to point
done
it out. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. The Brant and Sherry podcast is sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about MediShare, call 855-772-5699.